This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx.
Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
And Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
It's
a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
there. We listened to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. Welcome back. It is Monday, March 16th.
Snackers, I'm doing this pod with Nick through FaceTime.
Yep.
And we are the CDC recommended 6 feet away from each other, I guarantee it.
Jack, the light looks great on you right now. I just got to say, I don't know what room you're in, but it's fantastic.
Snackers, by the way, follow the CDC on Twitter. Great updates. But we're going to give you an update on the insane markets from last week.
All right. On Thursday, the government had offered financial medicine.
Loans for banks and big companies.
And markets tanked 10%.
Then on Friday, the government actually offered medical medicine.
We're talking public health measures.
And markets rose 10%.
And then Congress came up with a package that whipped up 2 weeks of paid sick leave, paid family and medical leave, and some enhanced unemployment benefits.
Not to mention free virus testing, additional food aid for people who need it, and student loan interest payment forgiveness.
That all happened before the weekend, and we decided to make this Snacks Pod the best one yet.
Our first story. The work from home economy. Everybody is talking about Slack right now.
And everyone's been curious about its latest earnings report.
The stock dropped right after the announcement in a bad way.
Snackers, we've got ourselves another Baby Yoda toy situation.
Our second story is the half a corn of the day.
Not quite a unicorn. It's so close.
This company is called Ro, like Bo, my old dog. It was a black lab. R-O. Ro is trying to become the Casper of erectile dysfunction pills.
Now it's basically doing like every kind of med you're Googling about because you're concerned you have that thing.
Ro is an online telemedicine company, and it's launched 10 new pharmacies last week.
They prescribed themselves a nice old vertical integration strategy. Jack, third and final story.
Last week, we said goodbye to the bull market for once and for all.
Let's introduce you to his friend, the bear market.
We couldn't have a better time to talk about market and economic cycles than right now.
If we're a werewolf, it's currently full moon situation. We'll get to that in a few. But before we jump into all that, there's one thing that Jack and I love probably more than anything else.
It's when we have a great takeaway for a story the past couple days, and then that takeaway is perfect for another company and another story.
Mind-blowing. It's like Inception. You get the takeaway within the takeaway within another story. It's wonderful.
Now, it's even better when someone else comes up with the idea because it shows that they're paying attention, and then they hit us up at TboyJack on Twitter, at Nick of New York on Twitter, at Robinhood Snacks on Twitter with their idea.
We love it when snackers do that. In this case, though, Jack and I found one based on last week's stories.
We talked about big beverage from soda to alcohol. They're all focused on functional beverages right now.
Turns out that Hostess, like the packaged ridiculously bad for you dessert company, they're working on their own functional beverage.
Yeah, Hostess is known for like six packs of tiny little chocolate covered donuts, but they're getting into beverages.
If you had a Twinkie like 6 years ago, you're still working that thing off. They're getting into dessert infused, get this, coffee beverages.
All right. We got Twinkies iced lattes.
We got Honey Bun iced lattes.
We got Ding Dong iced lattes.
Unclear what the function is here other than caffeine and sugar.
The function is you'll never fall asleep with Ding Dongs, Twinkies, Honey Buns, and iced lattes.
They're like, we added CBD and melatonin, and then we removed the CBD and melatonin.
Also, wouldn't all of these things sound exponentially more appealing if they were hot lattes instead of iced?
A lot of room to still grow with them, but Twinkies, that may be the functional superpower.
You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible, business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, /SIPC.
For our first story, Slack's earnings show that coronavirus is hurting business right now.
All right, you got Clorox Bleach.
Check.
Campbell's Soup.
Yep.
Zoom.
Yep.
Peloton.
Check.
Campbell's Soup.
Okay.
Yada, yada, yada.
Did we mention Campbell's Soup? Snackers, if it involves cleaning or laziness, people apparently are like really excited about the company existing right now.
It turns out, though, Slack is not a company benefiting from the coronavirus.
No, in fact, we think Slack is going through another one of these Baby Yoda toy moments.
We mean, you think it should have a big moment right now, but it actually can't capitalize.
Slack is the workplace communication software that emulates real life and makes it possible to have absolutely no face-to-face interactions with anyone while still getting your job done.
There are more emoji on Slack. There's probably like 30 times more emojis on Robinhood Slack than there are on like an iPhone.
Honestly, snackers, run yourselves a little experiment here. Jack and I like to do. Try not using any English words in a Slack message the entire day. Just respond with emoji.
Or you could pull a Nick and respond to every text message I send with that one emoji that has the huge right eyeball, tiny left eyeball, and tongue sticking out. I laugh every single time.
No one knows if that guy's crazy, silly, what's going on. He kind of looks like he has a mental problem.
So you'd think that an indefinite period of work from home for white-collar America would be great for Slack.
I mean, you got to get the corporate and TPS reports out to outside counsel if they're going to be CC'd for the cross-functional team meeting, Jack.
It turns out, though, Thursday's earnings report had super high expectations. We didn't see positive results, though.
All right, snackers. Jack and I whipped up the old Let's Go Pepsi Coke on this thing. Let's compare work-from-home stocks, Slack, and Zoom.
Yes, these are the two stocks that everyone's talking about with work-from-home. So first, sales growth last quarter, which might I add was pre-coronavirus in America.
Slacks were up 49%. Zooms were up 78%.
Zoom wins. Second category, sales growth expected for 2020.
Slack is expecting 35% growth. Zoom expects 46% growth.
Okay, another point for the video communications company. Third category, App Store ranking as of Friday afternoon on iPhone.
Zoom, number one. Slack, number 162.
All right, Zoom wins again. Fourth category, stock price movement over the last 3 months.
Zoom up 100%. Slack, flat, barely budge, same thing.
Now, flat sounds bad compared to 100%, but flat over the last 3 months is actually really good considering the S&P 500 has dropped by 22% over that period.
So true, but it is no Zoom. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Slack?
Coronavirus will probably delay big office changes.
Snacker, Zoom, the video service, it's way easier to implement. Set up a corporate account, include a link, and boom, it's in your calendar. You just click and you're using the product.
But switching from like Microsoft Outlook to Slack requires shifting behaviors, overcoming corporate bureaucracy, sales liaising, time, meetings, in-person orientation, sales pitches, a whole lot of stuff.
Can we just say that liaising is the best verb ever? And Jack, if you say it one more time, I would be very happy.
Now, Slack requires training and transitioning away from Microsoft. We're talking teaching Bruce the difference between a channel and a direct message.
And then you got to instruct Wendy about not posting about her lunch plans in the general channel. We've all been there, Wendy.
Big office changes like transitioning to Slack, it's not really working when everybody's working from home.
For our second story, we got our half a coin of the day here. Roe started out selling direct-to-consumer erectile dysfunction meds.
Now it's expanded to pharmacies so it can literally put on that white coat and directly put the pills into a jar and send you the pills.
Snackers, you know what Casper already did with mattresses?
Direct-to-consumer mattresses. Roe is doing the same thing for Viagra and has earned a $500 million valuation.
Now, Rose actually got two brands going on. First, it's got its men's brand for men's health called Roman Prostate Problems to Hair Loss. They kind of cover you.
I actually would pronounce it differently, Nick. It's not Roman, which is like gladiators in the Colosseum.
Aggressive.
It's Roe.
Yep.
Man, yeah. I didn't get that until telling this story.
You got to kind of throw a little comma in there.
Also, Roman.com was taken, so they're GetRoman.com.
Also, their website looks like Under Armour basically threw up on it. Meanwhile, its women's brand is Rory, which covers everything from like hot flashes to herpes.
Rory, they must be Gilmore Girls fans. Also, the website is like six shades of millennial pink.
Now, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about the strategy behind Roman.
Roman's core business is unearthing subtle policy and patent situations in the healthcare industry and then exploiting them.
Aggressively. First, for example, Roe noticed that the patent for Viagra expired, so it basically started selling the generic version of Viagra.
Yep. This is how this company launched with erectile dysfunction pills, but they didn't go with that tiny little blue pill look.
No, no, no.
And they also didn't have commercials of, who's that coach? Mike Ditka throwing footballs through a tire.
No, instead they wrapped up the pill so it basically looked like it was wearing athleisure. What'd they do next?
Second was telemedicine laws in the United States have changed.
So Roman then started employing doctors. You'd go to their website, describe your problem, and they would digitally prescribe you a prescription.
And by digitally, I think Nick means they would text you what to do.
Basically. And then the third thing that they noticed and jump on was a gag order rule that was slowly going away.
It turns out the pharmaceutical industry somehow managed to pass a law that forbids pharmacists from telling you the lowest price drugs unless you ask.
Yeah, many pharmacists can only talk to patients about prices if they are asked by you about what other prices are out there.
But now there is momentum to changing the law. In fact, President Trump supports it so that doctors and pharmacists can basically say, by the way, I've got another drug. It's the same drug, but costs like one-tenth as much.
And that's what brings us to today's Roe news, that they're launching their own pharmacies so they can start distributing around the country much lower priced medications.
Now, we don't think they're going to have storefronts like Duane Reade or Walgreens.
Not that fancy.
But they will have 10 pharmacies throughout the United States that can distribute directly to customers 500 different lower priced medications.
We're talking like $5 per month per prescription, diabetes to high cholesterol. Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Roe?
The next challenge for Roe, manufacturing your own drugs.
Snackers, here's the funny thing. Roe's first business is selling the generic version of Viagra.
Yeah, this was a crazy story. It does so by putting nice branding and a good online customer experience on a product, Viagra, that already exists.
But the same company that actually makes Viagra and sells it for $60 a pill also makes the generic Viagra that Roe is selling for only like $2 a pill.
Right. Viagra and the generic version of Viagra, they do the same thing. And they're both ironically made by the same company, pharmaceutical giant Pfizer.
Which means that Roe is actually buying its products from Pfizer now, the same company it's trying to disrupt.
Roe owns the doctors prescribing the drugs. It owns the retail sites selling the drugs. It owns the pharmacies distributing the drugs.
We think the next step is manufacturing the drugs.
And that whole thing is called vertical integration. That is what Roe is doing in healthcare.
For our third and final story, Snackers, the bull market is over. We know what you're thinking. We know what you're wondering. What comes next?
The answer is easy. We got another economic and market cycle. We're pretty much like werewolves in this economy.
It's a boom and bust situation. Your freaky Jekyll and Hyde going on. That's the American economy in a nutshell.
Kind of like Nick's and my run up the hills at the Stanford Dish last week. We were sprinting up exhausted.
It was incredible.
And then, like, tumbling down, panting and rolling.
That was awful, that final part. Now, Snackers, a bull market, you're probably wondering, what does this look like technically and non-technically?
Actually looks like the past 11 years. Nick.
Yeah. Booming times, they're called bull markets, and there's a technical definition.
Technically, once the S&P 500 has increased by 20% from a recent low, you're in a bull market.
In a bull market, the economy is usually growing fast, and then you've got low unemployment as well.
All right, what does a bear market look like, Nicholas?
If you're curious about a bear market, you look outside, boom, it's what you're seeing today.
Yes, bad times for markets are called bear markets, and it's got a technical definition as well.
Once stocks are down 20% from their most recent high from the S&P 500.
Right, and I think we hit that on Wednesday last week. We officially crossed the 20% down threshold. threshold.
And once we cross that threshold, then you tend to get into the territory where there could be economic recessions and there could be higher unemployment.
All right. A recent bear market history rundown by Nick and me. The first was the dot-com bubble of 2000. When it popped, we got a bear market.
The S&P 500 fell by, get this, Snackers, 45% over a two-year period.
And then way back in 1929, I think Herbert Hoover was president, we had an epic stock market crash, which led to the Great Depression.
Get this, Snackers, stocks fell 83% in less than 3 years.
And of course, we've talked about this last one before, but the financial crisis of 08, you know the story. Nick and I were in bunk beds at Middlebury College.
It was a wonderful time. And in case you're wondering, Snackers, in the United States, these bear markets, they tend to be a little bit smaller and shorter than the bull markets tend to be.
Now, the government plays a crucial role when it comes to bear and bull markets because everyone likes bull markets more. And it's the government's job to try to make bull markets happen more.
The government's like trying to cozy up and become friendly with bull markets. Meanwhile, it's kind of like, hey, you can't sit at this table with us, bear markets.
So during a bear market, Americans like you and me, we get unemployment checks if we need them. We hopefully get tax relief. And a lot of times the government goes out and spends money to generate economic juice.
And during a bull market, you tend to see those unemployment checks, they go down in the mail. And the government is supposed to kind of help out in bad times and try to make that bull market continue.
Yeah, you kind of like build up a rainy day fund, or like our roommate Dave, you build up like 12 liters of Purell in case things go badly.
Definitely not something Timmy was doing. So Jack, what is the takeaway for our buddies over in the markets who are cycles?
If you can zoom way out, American history is actually just one long bull market.
Snackers, the U.S. economy and markets, they follow a cycle a la werewolf style.
Kind of like a werewolf, and it's currently a full moon because look at the stock markets. We have a ravenous, angry beast on our hands.
It's aggressive out there, but things are usually quite pleasant, a lot less volatile.
And U.S. stock markets have ups and downs, but the ups tend to be longer and bigger than the downs do historically.
The U.S. stock market has risen 10% per year.
Now, Nick, for the last few years, we've had gains bigger than 10% per year. So we kind of should have expected a correction like this in a bear market to come.
We're in a bad year now, but we expect a bull market could return. But again, that's never a promise and you never know what's going to happen.
We're not promising.
Jack, can you let me borrow whatever moisturizer you're using? And can you whip up the takeaways over there?
My hands are so dry from all the hand washing, man. I need moisturizer.
I know.
Slack has been grouped in with Zoom, Clorox, and Campbell Soup as coronavirus winners.
But big office changes like Outlook to Slack are kind of hard when everyone's working from home.
Our second story. Roe is slowly taking prescription drugs the way of Casper. Online and direct to consumer.
Ro, your next challenge, make the drugs yourselves. Let's finish this vertical integration already.
Our third and final story. The U.S. stock market is officially in a bear market. We're down about 27% since the last high less than a month ago.
Snackers, booms, and busts. It's the U.S. economy in a nutshell.
But the booms tend to outweigh the busts historically.
Now, Snackers, time for our snack fact of the day. This one is the second half to a sister-sister combo. Becca, sister of Hannah, who lives in Bristol, Tennessee, had to share with us her own snack fact.
Well, Hannah is a snack fact legend when she sent in the fact about Oreo.
It was great.
Which I can't recall.
It was great.
Becca tells us that kale, broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, and collard greens all come from the same species of plant. If you look at like, you know, the animal kingdom family tree.
And that plant kingdom tree is the family Brassica. Oleracea, of course.
I gotta say, kale, broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, they all, like, if they were all humans, I bet you they'd have, like, calluses on their hands. They're kind of tough.
They should have, like, their own sitcom if they were all humans. It just would be a lot of fun.
Okay, another shout out here. Tariq Toto from Beirut, Lebanon. You now live in Houston, Texas. Good for you. Yesterday was your birthday, so Nick and I got a message for you.
Well, we wanted to say happy birthday.
This is a great week to share your snacks. Markets are going crazy. We're all working from home. Time to do a little podcasting and ask your buddies, HYHYSD.
Have you had your snacks daily? If you know, you know.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts, who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC, and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only, is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Past performance is no assurance that market patterns will persist.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.